This is KUOW Seattle. I'm glad you're along. I'm Bill Radke. The Trump administration has reversed the rules on how college campuses handle accusations of sexual assault. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos is rolling back the guidelines issued by President Obama. Let's find out what that means for schools and students. Reporter Vanessa Gregoriadis has written the book Blurred Lines, Rethinking Sex, Power, and Consent on Campus. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
What was the Obama administration addressing with its rules on how campuses treat sexual assault allegations?
For years, American universities had really swept sexual assault allegations under the rug. They didn't want to handle it. It was just too complicated for them. So they preferred that victims would maybe, you know, go on their merry way. Perhaps they would drop out of school. You know, they would take therapy someplace else. This would just be something that the university didn't need to deal with.
Yes. So now these new Trump administration guidelines have reversed the Obama-era rule that colleges should use the lowest standard of proof in deciding whether a student's responsible for sexual assault. That's the preponderance of the evidence standard. The Trump administration wants colleges to use the higher, clear and convincing evidence standard. What's the difference and why is that important?
Sure. So, you know, we all know that OJ couldn't be found guilty in a criminal trial, right? But he was found guilty in a civil trial. There's just a lower standard of proof. So the universities, in order to be fairer to victims who they had historically not treated all that well, they were using a lower standard of proof. That's what Obama wanted them to do. You know, a lot of these cases are very murky. Let's not forget, there'll be, you know, flirty text messages between the assailant and a student, you know, a matter of hours before the episode occurs. We really do need a low standard of proof here because it's really hard to figure out these cases, even in police departments. The cops that take on sexual assault are considered to be the true artists in the department. They are really good detectives. We need a low standard of proof here.
Well, President Trump's education secretary is saying that the Obama system created a system that treated the accused unfairly. Is there a merit to that?
Of course, there were some cases where innocent boys were being railroaded. I don't think that any journalist who looks at the cases could say anything different than that. However, I think it's important to remember that we are talking about vast social change here. We're talking about a sexual assault that has been a scourge on American campuses for at least a generation or two. We want to take care of the problem. The campus court system that DeVos is so focused on is really a kind of sideshow. Let's focus on the problem itself and not get sidetracked by thinking about what cases may or may not have been decided, you know, completely fairly. Let's remember, in the criminal justice system, not all cases are decided fairly either, right? I mean, there are problems with both of these systems. Punishment is difficult.
Let's talk about some of the other changes that President Trump's education secretary is considering. She's eliminating a requirement that these campus sexual assault investigations be finished up in 60 days. It would just be instead a time frame that is, quote, reasonably prompt. Tell us what's at stake there.
Sure. I mean, universities under Obama's guidelines had to decide these cases very quickly, and that was hard for universities. 60 days is fairly swift for, you know, a sexual assault charge to be arbitrated and then resolved. But 90 days or 120 days is certainly enough time. And, you know, you have students then who will be maybe leaving for the summer. You know, they deserve to have this settled and be able to move on with their lives. So she has not given a time frame. And I would just say, you know, well, what does reasonably prompt mean? So a freshman girl can bring a sexual assault claim her, you know, her freshman year, and then maybe that wouldn't be decided till her junior year. I mean, that's not fair to her, you know. So what is her plan there? How come she can't give us a number?
Let's talk about mediation. The Obama administration did not allow mediation as part of its approved process. The Trump administration wants to allow these sessions where the accuser and accused would talk out their differences, if that's okay with both sides. Why is that an important change?
Well, universities historically had used mediation for sexual assault claims, such as the University of Virginia, and they had some sort of informal resolution. It wasn't quite mediation, but they got in trouble for that with Obama's administration. You know, the fact is that, you know, not everybody wants to have some big tribunal. Not every student wants to go there and tell, you know, middle-aged administrators what happened in a sex and sexual assault episode. Not everybody wants to go through this for some unspecified time period. You know, we're not all whistleblowers. Not everybody wants to buck the system, right? So you will have a lot of victims who will say, you know what? Okay, I'll just take the mediation. That sounds way easier for me. And, you know, then you may have some guys who have done some pretty nasty stuff getting away with it.
The Trump administration is leaving this up to colleges. In fact, Washington State's public universities have indicated that they are not going to change their system. So what are we left with? A patchwork of different college procedures?
Sure, absolutely. Across America, going forward, we are going to have a patchwork. So at some universities, there will be a low standard of proof. It will be very hard to get away with sexual assault. At others, it'll be a lot easier. Religious institutions in particular really resented this intrusion by Obama. Some of those institutions, you're supposed to be abstinent, right, until marriage. They don't want to talk about sex with their students. They don't want to talk about sexual assault with their students. So they resented that, and they will deregulate as quickly as they can. Someplace like the University of Washington, who has come out and said, we are staying the course with Obama's protections, I think they should have the benefit of the doubt, because they very well may do that. But the real proof is going to be in the pudding, and you want to know, 1 year from now, are you still staying the course? For right now, let's say, okay, good, you know, we trust you. They have to, you know, continue to be scrutinized and continue to have the public think about this issue and make sure they're doing the right thing.
You know, Vanessa, we've been talking about campuses investigating sexual assault charges, and we've barely talked about sex or consent or alcohol. How are students in your work? How have you found students are in 2017? Talking about consent and assault?
Sure. I mean, they are talking about it all the time. They're certainly not talking about the alcohol component, which I think is a grave error, but they are talking about what is ethical sex? What is compassionate sex? What is thoughtful sex? What is something that doesn't objectify the other partner? You know, they're living in a time when they have to post provocative photos for girls on social media, or player photos for guys on social media in order to gather likes, right? They're all just trolling for likes. They're putting out their sexuality in a very performative way. They're hooking up with people they don't really know through online apps, dating apps. And it, you know, modern sex for them is actually very different than it was for Gen Xers. You know, there's not as much like, okay, we're going to have sex for the first time. Are we ready? Is it okay? Should we take this step? I mean, these are questions that kids used to ask each other. And, you know, you find for this generation that they now want to ask those questions again, that they've grown up in a way where in order to be taken seriously, they have to be some sort of, you know, have some great sexual prowess. That's what makes a person cool. But they're saying, no, I want some rules on this. I don't feel good about what's happening in the bedroom.
Well, these are really hard conversations that it sounds like this generation's having compared to my college generation. And yet you quickly said that they're barely talking about alcohol. Why is that?
Well, you know, the binge drinking across America at college campuses is as high as it's ever been, particularly for women. It has been creeping higher. And, you know, it's hard for them to think of their sex lives and alcohol as intrinsically intertwined in the way that I do believe that they are. You know, when you're in that scene, it's hard to see that you're drinking to soothe your insecurities, right? You're drinking because you want to be hit on or you want to hit on somebody, but you're too shy to do it. You know, all of the ways that kids use alcohol to feel cool, to feel rebellious, to feel sexually confident. You know, it's really hard for a kid, him or herself, to really recognize that.
So then, Vanessa, if the students are the ones having the most nuanced discussion, or at least the most crucial discussions about consent and assault, how much does it matter how the Department of Education writes guidelines for colleges?
Well, you know, I'm not going to get on your show and say that this isn't a little bit of a nanny state, you know, movement here, right? I mean, the Obama administration wanted to go into your children's bedrooms, right? Like, let's just be frank about it, you know? They saw an opening. They knew the data that showed that women in college are at risk for student-on-student sexual assault at residential universities, and they wanted to fix that, right? But along the way, you know, they began to make some rules for consensual sex, too. And now that we're in a period of deregulation, and Betsy DeVos has said, I don't want to be in these bedrooms anymore. I'm not comfortable with this. I'm not interested in this. You know, okay. I mean, that's it. It's over. And now the students are the ones who will carry the torch. And I really think that they are.
What makes you think that? In terms of the discussions we just talked about?
Well, for my book, I spoke with, you know, 120 students at universities across the country. And kids wanted to talk about this. You know, I was a Gen X mother of two who was arriving at a campus food court in Ohio. And I was saying, well, what's consent? And nobody was looking at me with a blank, you know, giving me a blank stare. They were saying, okay, well, what is consent? You know, it's really interesting. I want to talk to you about this. I've thought about this because, you know, my college has posters that say consent all over the place. And I myself have wondered that, you know, in a philosophical, abstract way, and also in a practical way, like, well, can I hook up with this girl if she's so drunk she's not speaking English kind of way? You know, what's fair, what's ethical way? They are thinking about this.
Vanessa Gregoriadis, reporter and author of the book Blurred Lines, Rethinking Sex, Power, and Consent on Campus. Vanessa, thank you.
Thank you so much.